This is The Table Business, a Sounds Like Adventure podcast all about people doing great work in the tabletop world. On this show, we're going to speak to the independent creators who make the games that you and I love. I'm your host and the DM of Sounds Like Adventure, Jack Traynor. Hey there. It's another episode of The Table Business. Hey, it's me, Jack. How you going? So glad you've joined us today. We've got a super great episode for you. So for the first time ever, we're joined by someone who is affiliated with another person who's been on the show. That's right, the Table Business universe, it's expanding. We'll have a cool multiversal crossover event at some stage, I'm sure. But right now I'm joined by Mariah. And Mariah is one half of the podcast Table Talk. So if you're a long-time listener to the show, you'll know that Table Talk RPG is this really cool podcast hosted by Mariah and Alejandra, who's also been on the show, and they just talk all things about the world of tabletop. It's a great show. I really love it. And in today's episode, we talk to Mariah all about social media. Both Mariah and Alejandra have marketing backgrounds, so they have some really great insights, and we get some awesome tips and tricks on things you should do and things you probably shouldn't do when it comes to promoting your work on social media. But hey, with all that in mind, let's get into the episode. Mariah, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So you're one of the two hosts of the podcast Table Talk. We'll dive into the show very soon. But to start things out, just tell me a bit about yourself.
So my name is Mariah. I'm born and raised in Texas my whole life. I currently live in Austin, but planning to sort of move back to the Houston area to be closer to kind of family, friends, and also Ollie for business stuff. I work in marketing by day, similar to Ollie. And then, yeah, we started the Table Talk project. It's definitely started as a joke of the very classic, oh, two friends were like, wow, we should have a podcast. We have 6-hour conversations. And then it became, oh, it's not really a joke anymore. Now it's a thing we're doing. And then we were like buying a domain and getting mics. And now it's like really snowballed and it's been so much fun.
I always like to start these chats by sort of getting to know how you got started in the tabletop world. So what's your origin story? How do you find yourself getting into this hobby?
So I've been pretty nerdy my whole life and definitely I got a bit of a later start than most people. I actually started around in 2020, I believe, around quarantine time. Like I knew of D&D like growing up. It was just never something I really had access to. And then out of college in my first like big girl corporate job in the pre-COVID times, I had a coworker, Dean, shout out Dean if he happens to be listening to this, who got me into like the McElroys and like the Balance, like Adventure Zone podcast. And like Dean and our previous DM and I were talking about starting like running a D&D campaign in the office and all that. And then of course, like COVID happened and they were like, hey, go home for it. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Like come back. It wasn't 2 weeks. It was like 12 months. I got a different job. Like I no longer worked there. But after probably about 3 or so months into quarantine, like our previous DM wanted to start writing an in-person campaign and so invited me to play. And that was my first time at the table. Like that was the first character I made. She's a sorcerer. Her name was Rin, little changeling draconic sorcerer baby. Love her. It was an Eberron campaign. It was super fun. And that's also how I met Ollie, because she came and started playing in that campaign as well after we'd had like a handful of sessions.
So now let's talk about the podcast. So we had Alejandra on the show previously, but for anyone who hasn't heard that episode, tell me about Table Talk.
Table Talk, I feel like, is Ollie and I's like love note to the game and the community. And it's this really cool little space we've carved out for ourselves in a space where like there's a lot of actual plays and we want to do an actual play. It's definitely in the few like years down the line for us, but we want to do it like in person with a full production setup. So like that takes some time and we all need to live in the same city, hence kind of me moving back to Houston. Table Talk has turned into a really cool part where we're bringing all these people together to talk about why they love the space and games and building worlds and rolling dice to tell stories. Where like it definitely started with Ollie and I recording conversations we'd had 1,000 times from like, you know, those early episodes, which I know a lot of like Ollie's episode focused on kind of the toxic tables and like knowing like when it's kind of time to leave a not super healthy environment. And like that was something we were fresh off at that point. And also just little things like how we built our characters and stuff. And the more people we met and the more connections we made in the space, we started to really just form this big family of other creators that have come in and collaborated with us. And it's just been so cool. And it's such a fun space that just lets people step in and really talk about the thing that they love. And it produces so many just genuine, awesome, authentic conversations because we're all just gabbing about what we do, what we love to do with our free time.
And talk about some of those collaborations. What have you both been doing?
One of our first people who's ever a guest was Johnny from Talking XP. Shout out Johnny. He's amazing. And then he went to PAX Unplugged with us last year. And that was really huge because Ollie had been to like a Comic-Con, but never a TTRPG con. I had never been to a convention at all. So it was my first like baby's first road trip kind of thing. And it was so, so incredible and so, so fun. We met so many amazing people and like having people, we had a couple of people like recognize us at the con, which was so wild. They're like, are you from Table Talk? And it was an egg and out. Both Ollie and I were looking at each other like, is this happening right now? Like what? Because we've been doing this for 6 months. Like, what do you mean you recognize us? Like, that's insane. And it's so cool and fun. And like, this industry feels really unique in that like we've had an overwhelming amount of positive experiences and it becomes a thing where like, it's very common to talk about in any kind of like, I say show business and that feels a bit hokey to equate with like gaming, but also like, I feel like that is kind of where it's going a little bit with like the bigger production shows where it is the kind of thing of like, oh, don't meet your heroes or don't expect people to be who you think they are or whatever. But like, far and away, people are who you think they are. Like they're awesome and really friendly and happy to chat. And like we've met people from Critical Role and like Darrington Press. And it's like, yeah, they're just cool people who happen to work in these really dope organizations that you've been following for years. And yeah, they just also love games. And that's it. That's the whole thing. And like, that is so wildly refreshing and cool to me. And I feel like super rare. I don't feel like a lot of industries have that the way TTRPGs do.
Yeah, I agree. And I think about this quite a lot and I wonder why this is. I think it's got something to do with like just the amount of time and effort it takes to run a tabletop game and the fact that every tabletop game is a unique interpretation of the people who sit down and play it. That sort of really encourages everyone to be more accepting of other people's interpretations of games and things like that. And of course, there's obviously people who are like, no, you don't do that. That's not how you do tabletop games. That doesn't fit into my specific parameters. And we're obviously not talking about those folks right now. We're talking about the big name folks out there who tend to be, whenever you speak to folks like this, they go, tell me about your game. Like, I want to hear about your campaign. I want to hear about what you're doing in your world. And they're like, that's awesome because it's different. And just by the nature of it being personal, people really relate to it and love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it really does. Like, I like the way you phrase that because it really does kind of cut to the core of like why you like the things you like and why you got into it originally. And I mean, this is a bit of a blanket statement, yes. Like, a lot of us were not the coolest kids in high school and like we're not the most popular, you know, like prom queen babies. And I think we've all kind of found a community and a home in the space. And it's so great to see that being maintained as it grows. Because I think that was something that people were concerned we would lose. And I think it's only gotten better as it's grown and it's become more of an inclusive, wider space. It's only gotten more welcoming.
I don't know what you mean. I was the coolest kid in high school with my constant hyperfixation on Harry Potter details. But let's move on.
I'm still hyperfixated on that, unfortunately. Like, listen, I live rent-free on the Harry Potter fan fiction.
Love it. So both you and Alejandra have both mentioned that you both have marketing backgrounds. I'm curious how that's impacted the show.
Oh, I think it's impacted the show in a lot of ways. Like, Ollie and I have had several conversations about this. I think we've said this to each other. Like, I don't think there's another friend I would feel comfortable going into business with, because like we are so aligned on so many things. And like, yeah, that's personality and that's values and that's visions for like what we want to do. But it is also the fact that we just have practical business experience doing this kind of things for other companies, right? Like we know what goes into social media marketing. We know what goes into crafting good copy. And it's things that I think, like, as we've talked to other people and as we've grown, I've definitely had moments where I'm like, oh yeah, I feel like we kind of have taken that for granted a little bit, that we both just are good at, we're both good at marketing and good at the branding and creating that story and crafting that message. And then it branches out. We're like, Ollie's an artist and I'm a writer. And so we fill in for each other for the rest of it. But we have this really strong foundation of like what we wanted the show and the overall business to be. And we've been pointing everything to that from day one. As we've like talked to other people and talked to friends and given advice on like coming up with branding and like, here's how you make a brand kit. Here's how you like, you know, approach this. And I'm like, are we perfect? No, like it's, you're always growing. You're always learning. That's one of the fun things about marketing is it's kind of, it's always changing and evolving. And as new platforms come up and as things die down and all that, like you have to keep rolling with it. Yeah, it's made the biggest impact ever. I think really set us up well and has played a big role in how fast we've grown, for sure. Even when it, like we do feel like we're two raccoons in a trench coat. Like it's a nice trench coat that the raccoons are wearing. It looks really great.
That's great.
Even if it feels a little helter-skelter pell-mell in the background, like it doesn't look that way on the outside. And that's all marketing, baby.
That's all that matters. It's perception, isn't it? So from your perspective, I'm curious as well, because there's a lot of folks who listen to this show who are other independent creators and they listen to get tips and tricks from folks out there. Is there any big mistakes that you see any other TTRPG creators making when it comes to their promotion? Just common mistakes. What's something that people can avoid doing?
I don't say this to be pedantic, but I think a lot of marketing, a lot of good marketing requires that you don't be overly afraid of making mistakes. And I think often the worst thing you can do is be so like paralyzed by anxiety of doing it wrong that you do nothing. So definitely keep trying things because something will eventually pop. And like learning in game is always going to be a part of it. And like sometimes you have ideas, it's that very classic content creator thing, right? You're like, I had this great idea for a thing that I spent hours on a vision board for a post and 200 people saw it. And then I made like a crack meme at 3 a.m. and 20 million people saw it, right? Like that's just how it goes sometimes. And it's also around like perfectionism. I think a lot of people, us, myself as well, like struggle with imposter syndrome and feeling like we own or deserve the space that we hold or the platform that we have. And trusting like people follow you for a reason and people follow you because they enjoy what you have to say, and to just staying true and staying authentic to who you are. Also, that is a big one. We've touched on this in quite a few episodes. I think the first one we talked about with was Johnny, the Talking XP episode. And also our episode with like SJ McKean, we went into it pretty deeply. That's a very like that was a therapy session in there. Like it was in the best way. But we've talked a lot about like burnout in the space and like how you keep yourself inspired and motivated. And I think so much of that boils down to making content that you feel like is authentic to you and that you genuinely enjoy making. And it's like, if you try to serve the algorithm too much or serve what you think your audience wants too much, then often you just burn yourself out and you don't end up making anything and you get frustrated because it doesn't perform the way you want it to. Whereas if you just do it because you love it, which is why you initially started and you had people that wanted to watch you because they could tell you authentically loved it, that is always the thing to come back to. I think if you're not feeling like you have to be everywhere all the time at every second, because that's impossible. I was like, I feel like I've skirted this question a bit. Mistakes people make in their marketing.
No, I think you've given a great answer. I think we probably went a little bit more into like tips and tricks for marketing than big mistakes. But I think that is just as beneficial. And I could not agree with you more. Like I find my philosophy, I hear a lot of people say this, so it's not like I'm bringing this out, but that like 80% good 100% of the time rather than 100% good 80% of the time, like just getting stuff out there. And I had to make a big transition mentally of like all of my social content, it's disposable.
Yeah.
It can get 1,000 likes, it can get 2 likes, and I'm satisfied with both of those results because I just needed to have stuff going up, and just having stuff up is more important than me spending a ton of time trying to make something really, really great and then putting it up and it getting 4 likes and me being like, oh God, I am the worst human being in the universe and everybody hates me.
You really have to detach from the outcome and how many people see it, which is hard to do because you make a thing and you want people to like it and you want it to find the people that connect with it. But you can't. You just have to put it out because you want it out in the world and trust that the people who are meant to find it will find it. Because it's like the second you get too attached to how many people are liking it or seeing it or sharing it, you lose so much power there that like you can't do that for forever. It's like you'll drive yourself crazy trying to just puppet around and kind of be what you think your audience wants. It's so interesting. Like I could talk about that for hours and hours, I feel like.
Yeah, I could as well. And it's just such a house of cards, placing your self-worth and value on your like numbers or your view counts and things like that. It's a real challenge. You said a term that I've never heard before that I wanted to ask you what it means. You said learning in game. What does learning in game mean?
That might just be a thing I say. I'm definitely that friend that infects my friend group with my kooky phrases and colloquialisms. And I don't know if that's just because I'm Southern or I grew up with a grandma who like you could write a novel around just the weird off the wall thing she said that no one knew what they meant. What I genuinely mean when I say that is sort of like learning while you're doing or learning like in the middle of the action. So it's like, the in-game part of it is like you're in the middle of doing the thing and you're having to just make mistakes and realize that and pick up information and keep moving because the game we're playing the game right now, like whatever your preferred sports ball is, it is moving about toward its intended destination and you've got to keep up with it. And like, you don't have time to sit and obsess and parse through like I know I'm prone to do when I'm given like time to just sit in a dark room and be like, what are all the mistakes I've ever made? Like you can't do that in the middle of the thing. And that's why sometimes that is the best time to learn is when you're just forced to keep performing and keep doing, which is sometimes I think why cons and things like that, where it's like this creative pressure cooker, right? Where like you're just in there getting so much stimulation and meeting so many people and there's no real break to be overly self-conscious. And that's often like when you make the best connections and you do the best networking because you're not sitting there obsessing over every little thing.
So to wrap the interview up, I always have a couple of recurring questions that I ask. So question one, what's one thing that people don't realize about independent tabletop content creators like yourself?
That, and I think this goes across the board from like the smallest creator that started yesterday and has like one person following them up to like the Matt Mercers and Brennans. So it's like, we're just people that like the game. And it really is just, it's not deeper than that. Like that's the whole bag. It's just that. Like there will always be people who are like a little farther along in the journey or have a journey that looks different than yours as far as growth and audience and things. But like at the end of the day, we're all just people that love TTRPGs. We're all just little guys. We're all just little guys here rolling pretty dice.
Second question. Take me back to your first ever character in a tabletop game. Who were they? Tell me all about them.
First character, I mentioned this lightly earlier, but her name was Ren or Renora Vesor. She was a changeling, draconic bloodline sorcerer. Gold dragon, so fire baby. And yeah, I think, again, she had a tragic backstory, as most of my characters do. Her parents died when she was younger, because of course they did. It's your first D&D character. She doesn't have a family that's alive. And like, she had a pretty colorful background of like, she lived with a circus for a little bit and she didn't fit in very well because she was kind of a scholar and was more, she was a sorcerer, but she was nerdy, still nerdy about it, just for reasons, probably because I'm very nerdy and it's kind of, we self-insert a lot. And it's like, what are we comfortable with? A girl who reads books all the time? Yeah, great. That sounds good. I didn't do too much with her changeling aspect, as far as she didn't have a lot of multiple personalities or anything like that, but her main form that she wore like looked like her mother, or her memory of her mother. And so that was a cute little moment. And yeah, she liked her books and she liked to cast spells and gather her herbs and do all the things. She ended up being kind of a quasi healer in that party, which like, I don't know how, she probably shouldn't have been, but I had an herbalism kit for some reason. I don't know why. And nor do I remember what I used to roll with it. Because I imagine her like wisdom stats weren't that great, but maybe they weren't terrible. I don't know.
There you go. That's awesome. And then final question. When you think back to your time spent around the table over the years playing different games, do you have a favorite story or a favorite memory?
Okay. I'm not saying this because Ollie's laying on the floor next to me. I'm recording in her room. I genuinely think, one, this is hard because I love all my children, and there's been so many good moments. But the arc finale for my character in our Strixhaven campaign, which we've talked about on the show, was the best session of D&D I've ever played. That character had a very tragic backstory of like her and her parents were kidnapped and she was turned into a reborn and she didn't know what had happened to her parents. And it turned out something really, really horrible had happened to her parents. So they were kind of turned into this like plant monstrosity. And so that whole fight was figuring out that like one Dean had been framed and like we had to save him. And then the other Dean, who we thought was good, was actually the one who's been doing all this creepy necromancy. And like, we're going through her lab and just, there were so many moments. Like Ollie and I had done a lot of out of session RP, like building up of like my character and her godfather going through her house and investigating and trying to piece together the puzzles of like what had happened to her parents. And just like that moment when the homunculus monster that remained of her parents like entered the room. Like, this was so late. This was the longest, this was the 18-hour session that we like always quote. It was probably 3 or 4 in the morning. It was so late. And like, the room was dark. Like, Ollie's mom was in bed. Like, she had a green light over it because it's like wither bloom and kind of plant monsters and everything. So, and like, it was the perfect culmination of a lot of emotional work and storytelling that Ollie and I had put months and months and months into. And the payoff for that was just everything I could have wanted it to be.
Well, Mariah, thanks so much for joining me on the show today. If anyone's interested in finding out more, where can they find you?
So you can find our podcast, the Table Talk Podcast, on all the major podcasting platforms, wherever you consume them, we're there. And then all of our socials are at Table Talk RPG. So Instagram, Threads, and TikTok is mainly where we hang out. We're getting our website redesigned, so that'll be launching soon. And we're publishing stuff about our Patreon soon as well, which I'm super excited about.
Wow, big news coming on the horizon. Looking forward to hearing more about that. Links to all those will be in the show notes as well, so they'll be very easy to find for anyone listening. Mariah, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. This was a blast.
You've been listening to The Table Business, a Sounds Like Adventure podcast all about people doing great work in the tabletop world. If you'd like to know more about anything we spoke about today, all the links for all the people that we spoke to are available in the show notes. Or head over to soundslike_pod on Instagram, and we'll definitely be talking about them there. And if you liked what you heard, why not check out Sounds Like Adventure? That's our main show. It's an actual play podcast with fun roleplay, short runtimes, and great sound design. But to make sure you don't miss the next episode of The Table Business, make sure you subscribe to or follow the show in your podcast app. And a 5-star review really, really helps to get a few more people to see the show. And we hear it, Sounds Like Adventure. We would be so grateful if you took the time to do that. All right. With all that in mind, we'll catch you for the next episode of The Table Business.